This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jarrod McInnes, Bob, 500 goals.
Up at center and coming in as Lowe. He'll like center that.
Murray gets it again. That's the shot they scores!
The road to the Stanley Cup starts for the Calgary Flames tonight. After finishing first in the Western Conference in the 2018-19 regular season and posting the highest win and point total in 30 years, the Calgary Flames start tonight to defend their conference title, a feat that they've only achieved twice before. That was in 88-89 and the 88-89 season and the 89-90 when they won the Clarence Campbell Conference two times in a row. This year, the Flames are celebrating 40 years, and it boils down to the playoffs this year. It's important the Flames have a good regular season, but more important that we see progress in the playoffs. Playoff success is the goal for the 2019-2020 Calgary Flames.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Usually in this part of the show, we're going to go through game recaps, but hey, we haven't started yet. So we're going to roll right into the first topic of the night, and that's Flames goaltending, which has kind of been a hot topic so far this year, and one that, I guess a lot of critics are having a little bit of doubts in, if the Flames are set with two guys in net. And with David Rittich and Cam Talbot, I think, honestly, the Flames have a pretty strong 1-2 punch, and I know a lot of people will argue with me on that, and I'll be the first to admit, they've got to prove it. I was really impressed with Rittich last year. I thought he was good. I think he's poised this year to be a starter in the National Hockey League. And prior to his injury last year, he was excellent for Calgary. 45 games, put up a 2.61, .911 save percentage, which at times was much higher than that, but I would like to see him get that to a .92 this year, and then we'd be in the elite status, and we'd be sitting pretty. Calgary brought in a backup this year from Edmonton, which is kind of crazy, but it actually works out good, sending Smith to free agency where he signed at Edmonton, so I don't know, kind of a flip-flop of goalies, but I guess we'll take it because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of happy that Smith is down the road up north, and we don't have to watch him fumble the puck behind the net anymore and get himself into trouble doing that. I know it saved the defenseman a lot last year, but it scared the heck out of me on numerous occasions. Cam Talbot is coming off a horrible season in Edmonton, and he's looking for a real strong rebound. Preseason didn't start out so great for Talbot, but boy, in the last two starts he had, I thought he was really, really solid, especially in the Winnipeg preseason game. I thought he was really, really good. Just 2 years ago, we considered Talbot one of the elite goalies in the National Hockey League. I don't know if we need him. I mean, we would love it if he'd get back to the elite status. But quite honestly, I'd be happy if we could just get this to be a strong tandem. I think tandems is the wave of the future in the National Hockey League. I don't think it's a league anymore where we're going to see goalies play 70 games, 65 games. Shoot, I don't think over 60 is going to happen very much. I'm looking this year as projection-wise, if we could have Rittich play 50 games, Talbot play 32, we'd be loving life, wouldn't we? No injuries, and Riddick solidify himself as a starter? That would be a dream come true for Calgary fans. I do think, though, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this one, but I think Talbot is really, really poised to have a good season. I hope he does. I'm really cheering for this guy. I think he got shunned away in Edmonton. I think he was put in front of a bad team that I don't really think any goalie had a prayer of looking successful. Ask Devan Dubnyk how it is in Edmonton. It's scary. Talbot was hung out to dry. But it's also time for Calgary to get some good goaltending. I'm tired of this 1 year, 2 year goalie shuffle. You know, Elliott's in for two and then out. Smith is in for two and out. Hiller's in for two and out. We need Riddick to solidify his spot here. And after playing more than half the team's games last year, Riddick will look to have this be his breakout NHL season. Riddick allowed more than three goals only seven times in 42 starts last year. That's pretty good. He was tied with Robin Lehner for the second fewest outings in the league behind Ben Bishop. So that's pretty good company for Riddick. If he could duplicate that this year, oh man, would we be loving life in Calgary. I dream of the days when Mika Kiprusoff was in net. Every night you went to the rink and you walked into the Saddle Dome, you knew that, hey, we got a shot at winning tonight. We got a shot at winning because of one reason. Our goaltender in net. And that was sure a good feeling.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Now it's time to talk opening night depth chart. It's going to be, well, we know who the roster is now. And one of the things that created some controversy, and it's been debated this week all over in Calgary on, you know, Dylan Dubé getting sent down and if that was the right choice. I personally think it'll benefit him. I think Dylan Dubé is ready for the NHL, but I think this will benefit him.
Dylan Dubé, Zach Rinaldo, and Alan Quine have been assigned to Stockton, and we've released Andrew McDonald from his PTO.
What more did you need to see out of Dylan Dubé?
Well, I don't know if there's much more you need to see. He's a young player who I think is knocking on the door and quite easily could be here today. So a couple things with that is it's the opening day roster, which usually lasts for about, you know, a day, and the roster can be changed. What I wasn't going to do is put Dylan in a situation where he's going to be part of our mix, or he's going to be playing down in Stockton. You know, he's not going to be sitting out or getting low minutes at a young guy like that. So he's taken a big step. He's physically stronger. His game's more mature. There's always some things to work on, but he's certainly knocking on the door, and I would expect we'll be seeing Dylan here before too long.
How much does...
So Dylan Dubé heads back down to Stockton, and I think that's probably the right choice with the depth that this lineup has. I think it's a good choice, but I also agree, and I think we'll see him soon. Rinaldo is signed down, clears waivers, heads down to Stockton. Alan Quine down to Stockton, and I like him. I think he's kind of an ace in a hole for this team. In the times he was called up on last year, very impressed with him. Scored some big goals for this team last year, and I think this year... He's another guy that, you know, we're in injury trouble. I don't feel unsafe calling up Quine at all. I think he'll be a great addition to a great safety net for this team. Shillington stays up with a big club. Now, I was a little back and forth on this, and I think if you had talked to me on different days of the week last week, I'd have probably given you different answers. Part of me was like, let's sign McDonald and have him as that seventh guy, put Stone in there in the top six and roll with it. Cause I was really impressed with Stone at camp. And I, you know, honestly, I've been impressed with him for a couple of years in Calgary. I don't, you know, not that I don't trust Shillington. I actually Heck, in last episode, I told you he was going to be the breakout guy, one of the breakout guys for the Flames this year, and I still think he will. I just worry a little bit about throwing him to the Wolves in game one of the season. So I would like to see him work him in maybe a little bit. I don't disagree with him being on the roster, and I'll get to that when I roll through defense in my opening night roster. Speaking of opening night rosters, everybody's got their opinions. Everybody's got, you know, where they think everybody should be placed. I'll roll through who I think everybody should play with, the lines, and who should be up and everything for opening night. So here's my lines. Obviously, line one, I loved it all year last year. Now you still love it this year. Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm. I think that's an elite line in the National Hockey League and one that shouldn't change. Now, line two, I went back and forth on this numerous times because there was times last year where I wasn't loving this line. I think we need to start with them this year and see how it goes, but I wouldn't mind tweaking the right wing and seeing where Furleek falls. I was so upset last year with him and his agent and their attitude, and I thought it was terrible timing when his agent, Alan Walsh, was tweeting and beaking about playing time and things like that. He's playing on a Western Conference champion team. He should be happy as can be that his client is succeeding. Frolik had a fairly decent year last year, but, you know, just nothing made them happy, it seemed like, last year. And I hate it when agents go public on Twitter. It's one thing to go into the GM's office and visit and, you know, and express your worries and your concerns. But when you start doing it in the media, that's when I lose respect. And I definitely did that last year when Alan Walsh started talking and beaking about Frolik's playing time and who he was playing with and, you know, and different things like that. I don't have any time or any place for that. But on my second line, back to that, and I'll quit my complaining about Frolik, but Tkachuk, Backlund, Frolik, I think you go with that just because, let's face it, they're comfortable with that unit, and I am too. So that would be my second line. My third line, I would change it up a little bit. I would have Jankowski centering Bennett and Mangiapane. Very unhappy with Mangiapane and Jankowski in the preseason. Loved Bennett. I've been a Bennett fan for a long, long time. And I really think that would be a line. If we could just get Jankowski rolling, I think that could be a real productive line. So I would like to see that be line three for opening night. And line four, Derek Ryan, who I think is amazing center, I would like to see him centering Lucic and Reeder. Reeder, a surprise in preseason, gets the PTO, gets signed, and I think he'll fill a spot right away with Austin Zarnik being the odd man out for opening night. Now, I think it'll probably be a little bit different in the fact that I think Ryan will center Lucic and Bennett is what's being reported as the opening night. So a little different than what I have. And it looks like Jankowski will center Mangiapane and Tobias Reeder. We'll see how it all plays out. I like Zarnik sitting out there, Reeder in. And we'll see what happens. And I'd like to, you know, Jankowski's kind of the ace in the hole for me. I'd like to see him get put with Bennett just to see if he can produce and kind of get both those guys off to the right start this year. Now on defense, I think Calgary is set. One of the top defenses in the league. I said it last year. I'll say it again this year. Defense wins championships. So I like where they're at. I think opening night though, I would make a change that everybody's been talking about and everybody will say will happen by Christmas. And if it was my top six tomorrow night, I would have Captain Giordano alongside Rasmus Anderson. Of course, I would have Hanifin and Hamonic. I think they'll be side by side till they both retire as a second pairing. And I would have Stone in with Brody. Now, the reason I would do that is Brody is kind of a loose cannon. He's a good offensive guy, but gets himself into trouble once in a while on the backside. I'm okay with a forward or a defenseman taking some chances. You can't sacrifice your job. Your job is to be a defenseman. Putting Stone with him, though, creates something that I really like. Stone has always proven to be a good stay-at-home defenseman. Actually, I think he's underrated. I think people in Calgary have been tough on him. We got to remember, when we picked him up, I believe it was from Arizona, he came in and basically single-handedly put this team on his back and helped the Flames, now obviously had a lot of help with him, but start a run that led them to the playoffs that year. And I don't think we can forget some of the, he's been good for the Flames, and I would like to see him with Brody on the third pairing with Shillington sitting out. This is for opening night because Colorado is going to come at us with a offensive barrage. They are going to be fast and furious, and I just worry about having Shillington and Anderson together on that third pairing. I just worry about that a little bit. But it looks like, according to what everybody's reporting, it's going to be Giordano, Brody on the first pairing, Hanifin, Hamonic in the second, Shillington and Anderson on the third. Both my lineup and the team's lineup look good to me. I just will be really, really interested to see how Shillington handles it. And I have, of course, Riddick in net, which is what is everybody is saying is he will get the goal in net for the Flames. I love this opening roster. I hope that everybody can stay healthy and safe. And hopefully, hopefully, we can have another successful run this year. And maybe, who knows, be Western Conference champions again.
In the corner. Tried to slide it out front. And the puck was loose for just a moment. Now Aguilar takes a shot. The rebound. He got it.
Boy, that brings back some good memories. That Jelena OT goal. Oof. Those are some nights of pure crazy nights in 2004 on that run. That was sure fun. And be really fun if we could get back to that again this year. Now let's take a little trip around the National Hockey League and talk about the Pacific Division. And I'll give you my rundown on predictions for that. And we'll follow that up with a fan question and preview this weekend's games. Pacific Division, 8 teams in the division. I will start in 8th and give you my rundown of who will finish 8th, and then at the end I'll round it out with my points that I predict. In 8th, I got the Los Angeles Kings, and I don't think I'm far off from everybody else in the hockey world in predicting that one. I got the Kings finishing 8th, just like last year. Last year they had 71 points. This year they will improve by one game and finish with 73 points. In 7th, I have a little bit of a shocker here. I think a lot of people are picking these guys to do a lot better than I do. I have the Arizona Coyotes. They finished 4th in the Pacific last year with 86 points. I have them dropping 6 down to 80 points and finishing 7th in the Pacific. In 6th, I have the Anaheim Ducks. That's exactly where they finished last year. They had 80 points last year, and I have them bumping up to 82. I love their goaltending. I like their young prospects, but with young prospects comes development, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get them up to speed and producing like they need to do to be a playoff team. So I think they'll finish a little bit out of that category. That's for sure. In 5th, I have Edmonton. Edmonton finished 7th last year with 79 points. I got them bumping up to 85 points this year. No, I'm not on an Edmonton bandwagon, and boy, would I love to see them finish last. But I think this team is just bound to get a little bit better. I think some of the moves they made will help them a little bit. And hopefully, they can get some help. I mean, maybe James Neal will come through for them. But I got them bumping up to 85 points, still falling short of a playoff spot, but in the 5th spot in the Pacific. In the 4th spot, I have the Vancouver Canucks, a team that finished 5th in the Pacific last year with 81 points. I have them going up 6 points this year to 87. Like their young talent, their top 6 seems to be much, much improved. Some good additions. I'm not sold on the Ferland or the JT Miller addition, but I do think on the back end, this team has gotten a lot better, which if you get stronger on defense, that will translate to better results offensively. I still have Vancouver in 4th, finishing outside a wild card. I have 2 wild cards coming from the Central. So only 3 teams are going to make the playoffs this year from the Pacific, just like last year. And in 3rd, I have the San Jose Sharks with 101 points last year. They finished 2nd place last year to the Calgary Flames. I have them falling to 3rd place this year, finishing with 98 points. In second, I have the Calgary Flames, a team that finished first last year with 107 points, an amazing season with 107. Wow. I have them dropping 8 this year back down to 99. I don't think the Calgary is going to be a lot worse or anything like that. I do think they're going to face some adversity this year that they didn't last year in some injuries. It's bound to happen. For a team to stay as injury-free as Calgary was last year was amazing. And that led to some of their success. I mean, when you have your top end guys playing every game, it sure helps out a lot. Plus, I also think there's a different mindset in Calgary this year. Not that I'm discounting the regular season, but I also believe wholeheartedly that this group's in the locker room just saying, let's get into the playoffs here and let's go to work. We have a lot to prove after what we showed last year in round one. And I don't think they're going to let an exit like that happen again this year. In first this year, I have a team that finished third in the Pacific last year with 93 points, and that is the Vegas Golden Knights. I have the Vegas Golden Knights at 102 points this year and winning the Pacific Division. That would lead Calgary to be playing San Jose in the first round, and boy, would that be a bloodbath. Let's move on to the fan question of the week, and this is a question I loved. When I saw it, I was like, yes, couldn't have asked for a better fan question for the night. And the question comes from Jacob Swain from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And the question is, who will the Calgary Flames fan base whipping boy be this year? I loved it. When I saw this, I laughed so hard. Last year, it seemed like every night in the beginning of the season, Sam Bennett was the whipping boy. Man, he could not make any of the fans out on the after-hours show. He would get brutally ripped every single night. Sometimes deservedly so, but most of the time I thought it was a little bit of overreacting from the fan base. Now, the latter part of the year, it kind of shifted a little bit off Sam Bennett. Mike Smith was definitely in there as being crucified, but I have a hard time putting the goalie as a whipping boy because, I'm sorry, that position just gets ripped no matter what. I just feel like goaltenders get so underappreciated when they are playing good. We take it for granted, but when they're struggling, boy, we're first to jump on their back and rip them a new one. TJ Brody fell into that spot in the second part of the year, and I couldn't tell you that I'm a huge TJ Brody fan. I think what happened is early in his career, we had such high hopes for him, and I don't think he's disappointed. I think he's a solid top four defenseman in the National Hockey League. He has some turnover issues. He makes some poor decisions coming out of his zone once in a while, but as a whole, I mean, we really shouldn't be picking on TJ Brody. He's been good for the Flames, and I think he'll be good this year. I really do. I think he's going to have a good year this year, better than last year, and hopefully that I wouldn't mind seeing him on the third pairing that shelter him just a little bit, and I don't know. I think we rip on him as Flames fans, but I think there's a lot of teams that would line up to have him in their top four. But who is going to be this year's whipping boy? And to me, it seems like a pretty obvious one. I think Mark Jankowski is poised to be that whipping boy. I like Mark Jankowski. I've defended him for a long time. I think he's a great player. I think this year in camp, he was atrocious. It bothers me. I thought he would have taken his step by now. His first year, he got called up. He had a good camp, got sent down to Stockton, and everybody was irate. Then the next year, he had a good camp, got called up, and it never left. I don't know. I thought he would develop more by now. I thought he would, man, could you imagine if he was just if he played with a talent I think he has every single night? He's just very inconsistent. If he played with that talent every single night, look at the depth and down the middle the Flames have with Ryan, you know, Monahan, Backlund, and Jankowski. Like, man, if he could produce this year, that would make this team so, so strong down the middle. But I just worry that the fan base is going to get on him right away. And it starts tonight. Like, I think that if he doesn't have a good night out of the gate, it's already going to start. People are going to start ripping on him right away. So to answer the question, Jacob, I would pin Mark Jankowski as the man on the hot seat right away, and he is the most likely candidate to be this year's whipping boy in Calgary. game previews. It all starts Thursday night, October 3rd, opening night of the 2019-2020. 7 o'clock puck drop mountain time. The Calgary Flames are in the Mile High City of Denver taking on the Colorado Avalanche. The Flames look for redemption from a 4-1 first-round playoff embarrassment at the hands of the Speedy Avalanche last year. And it was a very, very frustrating series. Flames get up 1-0. And boy, after that, it was just all the Nathan MacKinnon show from there on. He just completely took charge. So players to watch in this game, I would put down for Colorado Nathan MacKinnon. Let's see if he can continue the success he had against the Flames in the playoffs last year and be the dominating force that he was. Calgary, we talked about it earlier. My guys to watch are Oliver Shillington. He's young. He's going up against a very, very, very speedy Colorado Avalanche team. And I'm very interested to see how he handles that pressure, the puck pressure, and if he makes the right choices. Now, we all know that he can skate. Sometimes his problem is he tries to skate out of too much. In the AHL, he can get away with that. In the NHL, he sometimes gets himself into trouble. Let's hope he matures through that. I think it's good he's up in the show. I think he'll work through some of those glitches, and I think he's going to be a great, great asset to the Flames this year. He's a man to watch. Second guy to watch is Johnny Gaudreau. Complete playoff no-show last year. I was so frustrated with him at the end of the playoffs. And now he's got to prove something to me, and I think he's got to prove something to a lot of teammates and fans in the Calgary area. Now, Calgary, home openers, boy, almost can chalk it up as a loss. The Flames are 0-8-1 in their past 9 season openers. That dates back to 2010-11. It's the longest active winless streak and the third longest in NHL history besides the Red Wings and the Blues. Okay, it's time to end it. It's year 10. We need to win our first game. They last won an opener in 2009-10 when Mika Kiprusoff made 39 saves in a 5-3 victory at home against the Vancouver Canucks, who had Roberto Luongo in net that night. And bringing up the Vancouver Canucks, that moves us right into Saturday night's matchup. Saturday night is the home opener at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in Calgary. 8 p.m. hockey night in Canada. Vancouver rolls into town. They open this season, actually, opening night, Wednesday night, against Edmonton. And that game actually is going on while I'm recording this, and Vancouver is down. Vancouver rolls into Calgary with high hopes this year. They have a high-powered offense. I like what they did. I'm not totally sold on the Ferland JT Miller thing, but I like what they did on the back end. I think Tyler Myers will help them out. Vancouver's going to be a better team this year. I thought they took big strides last year, but I really think this year that this team is going to take another stride and keep progressing. But I think they're just not quite there. It's going to take just a couple more years to develop some of these young players. I look for Pettersson, who I have jotted down as the player to watch in this game, to have a great year. He's a dynamic young scorer. I'm just wondering how he's going to handle that sophomore season when everybody's keen on him. He's not going to be a secret anymore. No one that everybody that plays Vancouver is going to be like, huh, it's time to get that Pettersson guy. We got to keep our eye out for him. Calgary's first line is who I'm watching in this game. I think it's really, really important that Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm get off to a fast start. Calgary was, I believe, 5-5 after 10 last year and then went on a huge win streak. Wouldn't it be great if we could get like at least off to a 7-3 start, 6-4 start? Playing ahead, being in first place, being in second place is so much easier than falling out of the playoffs early and having to fight your way back in. This league's too hard to get down too far in the early parts of the season, and we just hope Calgary gets off to a good start this year. I couldn't be more excited to get this season going. I'm tired of like speculating and talking about what I think's going to happen and what I think Lions are going to be and things like that, and I'm just ready to drop the puck, get this thing going, and start to enjoy some Flames hockey. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter.
at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
There's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McGinnis. They've got their sweat on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.